Welcome to the Revenue Rebels podcast, brought to you by Warmly. On this show, we cut straight through the fluff and dive deep into the specific tactics that B2B revenue leaders across sales and marketing are using to find success in today's environment. I'm your host, Alan Zhao.
All right, super excited about this one. I'm here with Jared Robin. He's the founder of RevGenius, one of the premier active go-to-market communities out there with over 40,000 members. He's held VP of growth and VP of sales positions before co-founding RevGenius, so he's gotten to sit on both sides of the go-to-market table. I also think what's great about Jared, by nature of being a community builder, he's extremely plugged into the go-to-market ecosystem. He knows all the top players and companies, which has given him access to some of the most cutting-edge playbooks and tools that are working today. And today we'll be talking about why collaborative growth is the future of community, how you can apply it to your business. Jared, it's great to have you on today.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. So why don't we get a quick background about yourself and then we'll dive right into the topics.
I'm Jared. I spent a lifelong in sales before finding myself unemployed at the beginning of COVID. Decided to build RevGenius first as a way to get myself a job. I thought it was a way to stand out above and beyond, show that I was still active, even though I wasn't really working, and it grew too big too fast. We built a movement, and we'll talk about that today. Been here 4 years, we're 45,000 members, launched RevRoom and my own personal newsletter, The Collab, along the way, and excited to be here.
Yeah, awesome, Jared. Jared has done so many different things. He's always trying to push boundaries of what's possible and go to market. So I've been watching from distance and learning a lot from him. Let's dive in. So what is collaborative growth and why is it the future? Why should go-to-market teams care?
Yeah, so collaborative growth, I think, is like the evolution of community. And it's really like creating movements. Collaborative growth looks at everybody as a collaborator, an ability to partner with a company or to build a movement, whether they're creators, influencers, fractionals, advisors. We see all of these titles and all these announcements. It's funny, there's so many announcements for so many titles outside of your regular company. Why is this the future? I just named a tactic, but why this is the future and why it's a big strategy is everyone has more power than they ever have to be their own solopreneur, to side hustle, to do all of this. Some of them choose to do this full time, collaborate with companies. Some do it part time. And GTM should care and why this is the future, because if this is harnessing the community and giving them a chance to make money alongside you, gives you more flexibility as a founder to not have to hire W-2s, and it allows you to truly partner in beneficial ways with members of the community directly to increase your awareness, drive demand, and in the case of the fractional, actually help you strategize and build your go-to-market plan. So there's all sorts of flavors of that. This is a more flexible way for the company to lean in, grow at lower costs or the same cost and more flexibility. And it gives the collaborators opportunities to work with multiple companies, whereas in the past, they were just working for their own.
And how do you think this came about?
If you look at the B2C world for inspiration, for the last 4 years, I actually, like I said, starting RevGenius, I wanted to start an influencer marketing agency in B2B because I saw the future, because I came from the B2B2C world, but I'm like, it's way too early. So a couple of things. One, people became disenfranchised with working with companies. On the other hand, companies just in the last 12, 18 months went through a really difficult time in general. We went from growth at all costs to growth, like sustainable growth, to growth at the lowest costs, where you have no budgets, not even using your budget effectively. It's what can you do with nothing? And that's forced people to be creative and realize you have no money for ad spend. Like, how could we partner with individuals? How could we drive value? How could we get the money, whether it's in one way or another, for the impact that they're making? So the combination of people wanting to side hustle and seeing this in B2B2C or B2C rather, and knowing it would come to B2B because people want to trust the brands that they're buying from. And this has been happening in B2C. And the market combined, it was a perfect storm.
Yeah, it's amazing. The point about brand is a big one. Like, it's not enough to just say what you do. You have to get some credibility about who's saying nice things about what you guys do. And so, like you said, individuals getting a lot more power, a lot more influence, brands wanting to align with them. It's a perfect storm.
Absolutely. And it'd be much more flexible on your bottom line than hiring like an army of W-2 marketers.
Who are inherently biased because they work for the company. So
yep.
This brings us into the next topic, which is what's the key insight on how to be successful doing collaborative growth, given everything we talked about?
Yeah, let's take the collaborative growth phrase away for a second. Yeah, we know collaborate, and let's insert like partner, because there's like a partnership connection here. And instead of it two companies partnering, it's like a company and an individual partnering. This is a new nuance. So first off, think of it like that. And with partnership, the ideal partnership, there needs to be equal equity in the situation. 1.0 collaboration, two people work for a company and the company benefits. The individuals, sure, maybe they could get promoted or not, but it's not quite equal equity. There's this forcing function that happens when it's an individual and a company. So you could have a true partnership. And how can a company ensure that they're like truly partnering versus just like taking advantage? One, the collaborators will hold you in line now because they're starting to know their value. But the key insight is to make sure that you're driving true value for the people that you partner with. So even if it's an ambassador program where they get X% of everything they drive, I always tell company to create a bulleted list. It could be a handful of bullets of other value that they'll stop off on giving them outside of that. Is that a better network? Is that a mentorship? Is that building their personal brand so they can make money from others that might have bigger budgets? Is it them being seen, a combination thereof? But there's a lot of other value points. Is it you helping them like literally get more followers and stuff that'll translate into money in other ways? So the key insight to successfully doing collaborative growth as a company is to make sure that you're actually driving value that the other person agrees with, not just value that you think, not value within your product, so to speak. Like, I know my product will help make you money or save you money if you just use it. Take a step back. How can you help them in their career or in their journey outside of your product as well? And I think that's big, aligning with their full goals, and then bring your product in.
So something else mentioned when we were talking about this was, how can you get people who is your audience to want to promote your product and win along, like in that process? You give examples about Salesforce, you give examples about HubSpot. You yourself have built large communities, you built the collab, the newsletter, built Next 50. So just, how do you think about that?
So one audience, how I always defined it is, it's a one-way speaking, right? Person, the expert speaks to their audience. Community is bi-directional. So meaning like you're asking for feedback, you're involving them in the decision, you're lifting them up. So that's small nuance. And no matter how you define it, just go with me for a second, define the way I do, in the sense that make it a two-way street. And you'll notice me personally on social, right. I have some one-way posts like, this is a playbook or this is what you do. But I quite frequently will engage my audience or my community to give feedback, right? What are the top brands? What are creators that you want to lift that I'm not seeing? And I'll do that with consistency. And in Rev Genius, whether it's spotlighting people or brands or building programs to help lift others, making it bi-directional and both being at the table with equal equity is massive, and driving value for them is massive into collaborative growth, engaging your audience, using that to build your brand, because your brand is how you're making them feel. And building a movement from that. You can't build a movement without community. I'm sure that there's a couple minor examples that you could poke holes in, but by and large, there is no movement without people. People don't follow a movement that they don't care about. They care about a movement because it hits them in the feels. Like, it's literally, it speaks to them and they want to join it because it's a worthwhile cause, to whether it's their personal life or their professional life.
I like that a lot. And you mentioned this before. You called a lot of content these days that was working participatory content. It's a two-way street. It's done through people who engage, people who engage back. With the movement, once you've created the movement, you always want to tie it back to a business model. So can you talk about all the things that you've done, which you've done a lot, to create these movements, and then how you tie it back to the Rev Genius business model?
Yeah, absolutely. So the most recent example of this is our next campaign. Here's a little micro movement, and I'm calling it a micro movement because it's only been a couple months. I don't know how big we're going to make it, but it's this idea that, and also listen to the nuance, the way I speak about it, because there's a couple ways you could speak about it, but it's this idea that both emerging creators and emerging brands aren't being seen enough. They don't necessarily have the resources that the big creators or the big brands have because they built it up. And total props to those at the top. And I took this same play from this fashion magazine I built 10 years ago. I didn't even tell you this in preparation. We just featured emerging fashion designers. Why did we do that? Because they weren't getting into the major magazines. Yet they were cooler than like the brands you heard of. But because of money or influence or network, they weren't doing it. So we just built a whole thing around them. So let's fast forward. And we made it cooler. Here's the key. We curated the heck out of it. And we made it cooler. Yes, you want to lift people up to lift people up. But you want to do it tastefully so you get cred in the space. So bring it to today. We created this list of creators that was highly diverse, really awesome people on the come up. And in turn, they lifted the movement. They're like, you saw how many people. We got like 1.8 million impressions, okay, in a week's time. Our brand was lifted and got inbound from that. But we took that because there wasn't like a direct product with that. But we did that as figuring it out type phase. And then we moved it to a SaaS startup, Series A and Seed and below. We said, let's create a list of the top 50 and now we have all these creators activated. We have all these ambassadors activated because they're like, damn, like we love where this is going. And then we have this list of, and by the way, in the process, these emerging people tend to be like the hungriest, right? Like they're out there, they're leaning in, they're the most active. And they're not, and they're also not like complacent and just sitting at the top and not. And they're super humble, but they're going at it. So like you have this like energy, a bottle. So we have them, everybody's getting active. Then we have the top 50 startups. And now we launch a demo day product, which we haven't even announced yet. And before we even announced, like pretty much sold out in a week or 2 weeks, just talking to people because they see the movement we're creating. And now we're giving VPs and potential buyers an easy way to buy, and not just from the emerging folks, but from all folks on this. And we have the next 50 list of these startups coming out too. These are the most energetic startups, man. And they're the most organically energetic startups, right? Like they really have to be. So we're doubling down and the activity, I think, will probably match the last one, if not more, right? Because startups that make this list will probably email it to all their people. And Rev Genius now becomes the source to discover new startups. It becomes a place where startups want to pay to be seen even, right? It's a place of credibility, assuming that you like our list and the curation thereof. And then we have all of these creators that have been activated that now are like, oh, fuck yeah, let's keep going. So we're about 3 months deep. And the only thing holding the movement back is us, these people, all of that. So already we're thinking about demo days with more niche. We're thinking about easier ways for people to buy and discover talent. And just creating like a product out of this movement, and did it pretty quick and pretty fast. And then seeing like other challenges in the space, like with buying, like VPs hate the way sales is working right now. I just want to go to Rev Genius, who we trust, who's like building this movement, to show us who's there. And now these brands are like, damn, you got all our buyers coming. And these buyers are like, we fuck with all the brands you have coming. But we make it much simpler. So they don't have to listen to 42 different questions from an SDR that, no offense, isn't always trained the right way. And we create things simpler. And we're the connector of all this. We named it accordingly. Like, what's hot now and what's the next? Anyway, thank you for listening. But that's like just an example of a movement in real time.
If you're a fan of the Revenue Rebels podcast, please leave us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Your support goes a long way in helping us bring on more amazing guests. Thank you.
What I like about that is you've amassed the creators, the influencers, and the companies that are trying to build big brands. You've aligned them to your brand. Your brand becomes the platform, the connector, almost like the central choke point through which a lot of these brands have to flow through.
And by the way, creator companies that hire creators went through our list, reached out to creators, and offered them money to work with them. Some of them accepted, some didn't. But how cool is that? I got those creators fucking paid. Do they like me more, less, or the same?
Probably more. In this day and age, anything that brings in money, people probably like you more.
Money or status is pretty much the main drivers, I believe, in where you're going to spend your time.
And you found a way to provide money and status at scale to a lot of people while having on a shoestring budget yourself. Like, you probably didn't spend a whole lot.
No, we spent a good amount of time, but not a whole lot of money. Yeah,
that's right. So this is powerful. How do you think, on the next topic, marketing or go-to-market teams can adopt your playbook, this meta game that you're playing, into their own go-to-market strategy?
So it's funny, you saw a couple starting to do it. My homie at Sales Intel that worked with Rev Genius for a bit at Hassenberg was like running something. Zoom Info like just launched their community. So I think, and that brings up another point. There's people running the tactical side of this without the strategy. And you will get impressions, but they'll be like PR pops versus like long-standing stuff. So how could GTM teams adopt this playbooks for themselves? First and foremost, understand the challenges of the persona and the ICP your product is for deeply. And think about what they need. The movement that needs to be created to fill the gap. Do you sell a sales? In our case, we drive demand for businesses, right? Let's break down what sponsors are. I just created a whole demand driving movement to help them. And we have a community that helps them as well. So how can you, without charging for admission, right? How can you build something that your persona needs, like along the way, give them value that they could actually realize in your ICP, and think through it. Talk to them. Build CAVs, community advisory boards. Like get a few people around there. Build customer advisory boards. And understand like the gaps that they have. And then build something for it. And then rally the fuck out of them around it. That's what a movement is. RTF, rally the fuck. Yeah, Black Lives Matter, rally the fuck. Let's go. Okay? Let's go. It's us versus them, and us is helping you. Us is helping you.
Do you have any examples of companies that pulled it off pretty well? RTF?
I'm watching Clay. I'm loving Clay. I just featured them. I love HubSpot. I love, so these examples I give have like really big agency like footprints under them, and they're creating like new business streams for people that maybe not had that business before. And they're geeking out over these products. Like the Clay people are geeking the fuck out. I kid you not, after announcing Clay, I probably had more net new connection requests than any single announcement. Like, and just coming in, hey, I'm a Clay part, like Clay, like, oh, whatever. I got off the phone with somebody today, like, oh, Clay, like it's a movement. Notion, rally is the fuck. Like, are you kidding me? Don't we people have businesses off Notion templates? Like, yo, let's level it up. You know, here, how many people like throw things on Gumroad? Beehive. How many people didn't have newsletters before Beehive came around? Now they have newsletters. Now they're geeking out in Slack. They're tagging Beehive on social because they know 100 Beehivers will come and like their posts. RTF. Like Beehive, that's fucking, they're killing it. And they're crushing it. ConvertKit is a really great tool. But Beehive has all these people like moving towards it. ConvertKit has some of the best creators, some of the best tooling, and the creators themselves do stuff. But Beehive has this like community buzzing, dare I say, but going towards that. And that's so rad. And then with businesses, with the agencies, the HubSpots of the world and Salesforce, when you're in like forums and people have questions on this product, you're jumping in and geeking out because one, you could get new business from it too. So you're going to rally around where you can make money. And that's a key takeaway there. But those are some
great examples. On the next topic, you've always been at the forefront of this, creating movements, creating brand, building communities. You were ahead of the game, it seems like. Now, only now are people really starting to catch on. So how do you think about creating new playbooks and being at the cutting edge of go-to-market?
What's funny, you think creatively about doing things and you do it, but you don't write, I don't write down enough stuff. Having somebody ask for a playbook's a forcing function to, oh shit, I need to think about this. And then in some ways you get like a lot smarter around being able to communicate what you did to get somewhere. But in some ways you like lose the nuance, the real subtle stuff, because you can't keep track of everything and micro everything, so to speak. But how do you create your own playbook? You look at your goals, you figure something out, and you pray to God you remember what worked in them along the way. To get to, I could tell you our playbooks in hindsight now, but in the process, I wasn't working from a playbook.
That's okay. Our investor said the same thing. It was
really
like, it was like all these playbooks, and when people ask how you get to product market fit, they always explain it to you in hindsight, but they just did whatever it took to get there. And then they're just trying to explain the mechanism they took to get there, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to transfer over to you. So it's more maybe a mindset than it is playbook.
I think it's so true. And what do they say? Like great marketers, like they just keep taking at bats and they figure it out, and they do like micro recalibration. The next business model is supposed to be people paying us to be a part of this movement. But whether it was too early or just a bad idea or somewhere in the middle, got traction with that. and did well. But what really took off more was this demo day. And we figured that out by looking at the market, understanding what they need, seeing how many times did we speak, Alan, where you were giving me different ideas, like in the last 2 months. Some of them were great ideas that other people did that I might have done. And we ended up with something completely different that feels easier and more scalable and hitting it even more. Like some of the examples are, you know, the next 50 lists having people pay to be on it or something, or like having a voting thing. And there's so many great ideas around that that I was considering. But ultimately, I wanted this list to be curated by us. So then how could we create a product if we're not charging anybody anything? What do they need even more than being on a list or all this? They want to pay to drive demand. And this list could and will. But how could we like build something that's like even more attributable? And fuck, maybe we should charge for both, Alan. Like maybe there's more micro pivots to be made. But one day came out and it was just like easier from a product standpoint than like having this like big voting thing and all of that.
And that's the thing, right? Like in order to be a really good marketing strategist or CMO leader, you can't just take playbooks. There's a certain genius to recognize that every day the market changes a little bit. And you have to stay on top of that and adjust your own strategies accordingly. Jared,
don't be afraid to give. Don't be afraid to give extra. Like that next 50 list is a big give, and we're figuring out the business model that it turns to.
1,000%.
Yeah, collaborative.
Give 5x more than you receive, and that's what you've done.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the time, Jared. It's been a pleasure learning about brand, collaborative growth, partnering with people in the ecosystem, and then building them up. How can people find out more about you?
Hit me up on LinkedIn. LinkedIn.com/in/JaredRobin. Go to jaredrobin.com, sign up for my newsletter. Shoot me a note directly in Slack, revgenius.com. Click any of the sign up things there and join. And those are three pretty straightforward ways to get to me.
Amazing, Jared. RTF, thank you so much.
RTF.